Welcome to the Weekly Dose Podcast, your one-stop shop for the weekly news in incretin mimetic therapies with your host, man on the Mounjaro, Dave Knapp. Let's talk about the single-dose vials. We're going to make the business case for why I think it's a foregone conclusion. They will be released. And we're also going to debunk some of the arguments that are going out against single-dose vials right now that are pretty easy to poke just some pretty logical holes in. So the first thing that I think is important to understand is publicly traded companies. So basically baked into the price of the stock of Eli Lilly are forecasts for profitability. Baked into those numbers are what they expected to fill for Zepbound and Mounjaro for this year and all their other medications. So if you want to understand the kind of pressure that Eli Lilly's under right now, it's important to understand about a little bit about the drug called donanemab. So donanemab is actually a medication for the treatment of Alzheimer's. And donanemab was expected to already have FDA approval in the United States and already be on the market generating revenue for Eli Lilly this year. Those were baked into their numbers. Donanemab has yet to receive FDA approval for whatever reason, not really what we're going to cover on this video, but it is important to understand that when you think about the profitability that they've reported to their investors, this is going to put a strain on their ability to meet those benchmarks. So how do they make up for those shortcomings? Well, they definitely have to hit the mark with Zepbound and Mounjaro, right? Well, that's absolutely correct. And I think that they have outperformed on writing Zepbound scripts. So that all bodes well for their profitability through the year. And not just profitability, of course, they'll be profited, but being as profitable as they anticipated, right? So we know that there's pressure on Eli Lilly right now because of the lack of donanemab's approval to compensate for that elsewhere. Now, what they cannot do is get in front of the freight train that is Zepbound and writing new prescriptions. That's why you see they've chosen to prioritize the starter doses in both Zepbound and Mounjaro to get more people on the platform. But why get more people on the platform if you don't have the next dose available for them? They have to have something in their back pocket. That takes me to my next point. Earlier this month, in fact, I think it was back in March, Eli Lilly announced that there would be a momentary kind of slowdown of the availability of Humalog. Humalog is their insulin product. And their insulin product is made in single dose vials. So they may be multi-dose, I can't remember, but in sterile vials, right? That's the important part. So I believe they could have been altering their manufacturing of that Humalog to actually fill Zepbound or Mounjaro vials. And the reason I think that is because if you think about it, they have to be as profitable as possible, right? That's their obligation to their investors. And Humalog, they settled a lawsuit just this past year that says that they won't charge more than $35 for Humalog if you're commercially insured. So Humalog ceased to be the cash cow that it once was. So that puts financial pressure on Lilly as well. So what do? You take those vials and you fill them with a medication that actually makes the company money, right? That makes sense to me. So I believe that the shortages of Humalog, which are also made in single-dose vials, aren't an indication that they couldn't also keep up with production of Zepbound vials. I think it's an indication that they're using that capacity to make vials. Because if they're going to launch this sometime soon, presumably they're already manufacturing them. All right, so that brings me to sort of the next point, and that is that people are saying that, well, Canada uses single-dose vials. And Australia uses single-dose vials. So there are two reasons why I don't believe that that Eli Lilly would be wanting to flood the Canadian market with single-dose vials of Mounjaro. First of all you have to look at is how people responded to shortages and the price of Ozempic. Again, being the second person to the party, I talk about this a lot, being the second person to the party is oftentimes an advantage. In this case, the forerunner of Ozempic and the blockbuster of Wegovy and Ozempic showed Eli Lilly some of the things they maybe didn't want to do, like launch an excess amount of products in the Canadian market where people from the United States would ultimately flood to get the medication cheaper or just to find it in general, right? So I believe that would be one business reason why they wouldn't flood the Canadian market with an excess amount of medication. Second of all, you have to understand that in single payer systems, where the price of the medication has been negotiated, that's actually an advantage to the United States. The fact that we pay more, which none of us like, and a lot of us would like to see reform in this area in a major way, it's actually to our advantage when it comes to scarcity of not only medications, but even medical procedures. When there's scarcity, guess who gets deprioritized? The people who pay the least amount of money. So the capacity, utilizing manufacturing capacity to serve markets that don't pay as much for the medication, just there's not a strong business case to be made for that. So that would be my take on why the vials in Canada are in shortage and in Australia as well, because they pay less and Eli Lilly has tension on them right now to meet investor expectations based upon the forecast that they've set. And we've already laid out the reasons why. So that would be my argument against the Canadian and Australian argument that vials won't help. They'll definitely help. The manufacturing of vials, even though there's complexity, you can't just shift over a manufacturing line from filling pens to filling vials. You can't do any of that easily. Finding the capacity and shifting that all takes time. But I think that may be contributing to some of the shortages that we're seeing now, because I believe some of that stuff might already be happening in the works. Why hasn't Eli Lilly spoken about this? So the only reason we know about this, at least initially, was because I followed it and I broke the news because I watched the inner workings of the FDA website, the pages that nobody else pays attention to unless you're sort of in that world. And I found the single dose vial approval. I actually called my shot because I saw it pop up the same way that Mounjaro vials popped up. And it popped up for Zepbound. And then a couple days later, sure enough, there was the paperwork. So I made videos about that. And now everybody's talking about it, right? Including the mainstream media, who has picked up this Release the Vial story. So we've been way out ahead of all this on the pen. That's why you follow this channel. So I feel like we've covered the Canadian thing and the Australian thing enough to make, okay, that makes sense, right? Makes sense that they would not get prioritized when manufacturing is already strained in the United States. And the lesson that they learned from Novo Nordisk and flooding the market with Wegovy and or Ozempic and having people go up to Canada to get Ozempic. So the next thing that I hear is, well, my Eli Lilly drug rep came in and he gave us the tea. Okay. Well, historically, the drug reps don't have a lot of visibility into the manufacturing side of the company. And anytime that I've heard anybody lead with that, I've kind of learned to temper my expectations because it's usually a nothing burger. No shade against them, but they're not given a bunch of information that happens at the higher levels of the company. Single dose, they're correct in saying the single dose vials aren't for the US if they're talking about Mounjaro. But when we're talking about Zepbound, because Eli Lilly has told us that, you don't have to be a drug rep at Eli Lilly to know that the Mounjaro vials weren't intended for the US markets, at least initially, even though they were approved here. They told us these are what we're going to launch outside the US, right? They didn't want to take the pens away from the United States. And the cost of manufacturing it is much cheaper. And the ex-US markets, like we just talked about, pay a lot less for the medication. So save your margins. It's all, you can rationalize through most of this stuff, right? So the issue with the drug reps saying that it isn't for US markets, they're only talking about Mounjaro, because we've learned through Eli Lilly's C-level people on these earnings calls that Zepbound is just for the United States. Even if they get weight loss indications for tirzepatide overseas, they're not rebranding it. It's just Mounjaro. So the fact that they approved Zepbound vials in the United States tells us that would be for this market. It would be for the United States because it's not Zepbound anywhere else but here. So they put that into play with the FDA, knowing that they may have to, again, like I've said and been quoted in different articles, pull that ripcord. So from the patient perspective, we've been arguing, we don't want to continue to yo-yo on doses. We don't want to have to continue to be forced to look at alternative sources for these medications. If there is a way for Eli Lilly to alleviate the shortages, they should be pulling that ripcord before it makes business sense. Like It makes patient sense right now, so hear us. And that's what the Release the Vials campaign has been all about, getting the patient perspective out there so that we can be heard. So please continue to use the Release the Vials hashtag. I think we're making a huge difference. I appreciate you. You're the best part of this channel. Hit the like, hit the bell, hit the sub, and we'll see you on the next one.